Hello to you. I hope you're well. It's Thursday, the 27th of April, 2017. It's Richie Allen here with you for the Richie Allen Show for Thursday. I hope you're having a good old Thursday. It's a miserable one here. I'm going to tell you straight up, as I begin recording this, it's just after midday. That's London time. Why am I telling you that? Well, because you might say, I can't believe Richie didn't mention this. Such is the speed at which with which things are developing. By the time I record this and get it online, something might happen. You never know. You might think, why didn't he talk about that? So it's a Thursday's programme brought to you in association with davidicke.com. It has to be recorded today. I'll tell you more about that in a second. Sadly recording it, prefer to do it live, but there you are. Let's get on with it.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com.
Welcome to it. Welcome and thanks for tuning in through the podcast or via YouTube. Thank you for joining me. Yeah, I've had a problem with the router or modem that we use, and we use it for everything. It does the household internet requirements, but also our purpose-built, custom-built studio alongside the house as well. There's no problem with that. It's just the router's a few years old, and yesterday we went offline, and I was learning what was going on. There was no power to the router, and I changed the cables and checked everything else out. Then phoned the provider and they said, well, they're pretty sure that the router, something has gone in it, something is broken in it, and they might get me one by today, but they haven't done, and they've said they will have one for me by Saturday. So Sunday View will be live on Sunday by the looks of it, all going well. But in the meantime, of course, not being able to get online, I can't do very much. So I've been like MacGyver today. I've been using my smartphone, and I don't like smartphones or smart technology, but I have a couple of really good software programs on it, and I've been able to download and process audio material, audio clips, and recording from the desk to the output to the recording software we use for the podcast. That isn't internet dependent, so I'm able to make the program today. So it's going to be an hour of news, something on the style of Sunday View. It's the best I can do today. I know you appreciate it, right? Don't even argue. We just have to make do with what we have. David Icke is in. He's in Belgrade, and he'll be speaking in Belgrade this coming Saturday on the day of his birthday. David's birthday is the 29th. So on Saturday, while he's speaking for nearly 12 hours in Belgrade, he'll be enjoying his birthday as well. Say happy birthday to him from everybody at the Richie Allen Show. Give him a big cheer. Sing happy birthday for Icke when he comes on stage on Saturday, if you're there. Start up the old happy birthday refrain. Right, so there you go. Look, loads and loads to talk about. I'm going to make a statement later on about Ken O'Keefe. Apparently Ken O'Keefe is in London. I did say I was done with Ken O'Keefe's activities and his pyramid scheme. But he's in London asking people for money. So I'm going to make a statement on that a little bit later on. I don't want to do that. No interest in this guy anymore. But I am concerned about those who might give money to him. So I've got something to say about that, but a little bit later on. There are more important things going on today. I'm going to start off with Tony Blair, the war criminal mass murderer Blair. He's been speaking with Sky News today. The Adam Bolton, there's another, don't get me started. Adam Bolton spoke with Blair. Blair said Theresa May will win the election on June 8th, but it's just a matter of by how much. Now, why is Blair sticking his oar in there? Well, Blair is advocating this alliance nonsense to prevent the UK leaving the EU and single market, weakening the majority that the Conservatives might get at the election. He spoke with Sky News, as I said earlier on. This is some of that, Tony Blair.
Well, the former Labour leader and Prime Minister, Tony Blair, has told Sky News today that he believes Theresa May will be Prime Minister following the election on June the 8th. He failed to endorse Jeremy Corbyn during a lengthy interview with me, saying that the priority for Labour is ensuring that they form a strong opposition. This is what he had to say.
The polls are right. We know who's going to be Prime Minister on June the 9th. That's not the issue.
Who?
It'll be Theresa May if the polls are right. If the polls are right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you're
so I'm not predicting that.
No, but if you're saying vote Labour, you are saying I want Jeremy Corbyn to be
Prime Minister.
Well, in the
context of
this election,
I don't think that's the real issue in this election. I think the real issue is blank check. It's what mandate does she claim, both on Brexit and on the health service, education and all the other things. And I think the most powerful argument for Labour in this election, because of the way the polls are, and the way the opinion polls are on the leadership issue, the most powerful argument for Labour is to say it's important for our democracy that the government's held properly to account and she needs a strong opposition.
So are the Conservatives really an unstoppable force in this election? Or could a so-called Progressive Alliance prevent Mrs May from remaining at number 10?
The Progressive Alliance, yes. You remember Gina Miller, dear listener? I'm sure you remember Gina Miller. Multi-millionaire, well-presented, high-maintenance hedge fund manager. Manageress. Came out of nowhere, didn't Gina? Went to the High Court to ensure that Parliament voted on triggering Article 50. She won that little battle. Well, Gina Miller is taking money from anybody, including people like Richard Branson, who has given her £25,000. Why? Well, in a nutshell, to subvert democracy by funding anti-Brexit candidates everywhere. That's what they're doing. Because Gina, well-maintained and high maintenance, well presented and high maintenance as she is, Gina can't get it through her thick skull that the country voted to leave. And leave means leave, 52 to 40, yes, 52% to 48. Can't get it through her skull. Pretty little head, Gina. Now, she was on Channel 4 News yesterday, Jon Snow moderating, and she debated a guy called Jonathan Isabey. Isabey is the editor of Brexit Central. Here's some of that exchange. Listen up.
What is your real ambition? To get a second referendum or to get people voting for MPs you think might vote to...
Well, in my view, this election really is a second referendum. We don't need to have another one. We're about to have an election. But no, it's much wider than just Europe, because Europe is going to dominate this election, but it's much wider than that. We're saying that we should support MPs or candidates who are going to stand up to Parliament or stand up to ministers in the government and say, look, what is best for Britain? I'm going to stand by my principles. I'm going to hold the government to account rather than just being a rubber stamp.
But it sounds,
that's
slightly,
of all parties.
It sounds slightly as if you're worried there's simply going to be a Tory landslide rather than that you're worried that Europe won't get properly discussed.
It's more about democracy and that landslide. I mean, look what happened in Canada in 2015 in that election. And everyone thought that was going to be a landslide, but a similar initiative, a strategic voting initiative, completely changed the landscape. It was a game changer and brought Trudeau to power. And we think people coming together can do that.
Yeah, we want a second referendum, damn it. Now, Jonathan Isabey from the Brexit Central online website. Yeah. He's having none of that.
Well, now, Jonathan Isabey, are you concerned after all you're a Brexiteer?
No, I'm not particularly concerned. I think a lot of people take a dim view of millionaire business people trying to manipulate the electoral system, particularly when we had a vote last June. In fact, more people voted for Brexit than have ever voted for anything in the history of British elections or referendums. I'm afraid that people like Gina are in denial of the result, because actually the majority of Remain voters now actually think the government should get on with Brexit.
Well, what do you think should happen to the 48% who voted, in fact, to remain in Europe?
Well, they will be able to choose who they vote for of their own accord, presented with candidates come the election. But we do have democracy in this country, and when you have a referendum, there does have to be an acceptance of the result. Today, I've been at a conference organised by Prosperity UK, bringing together Leavers and Remainers, trying to make a success of Brexit. And I think people would be far better to focus their energy on trying to make a success of Brexit rather than trying to obstruct the result.
You heard what he said.
I think you need to move on. I think it's not about Remain or Leave anymore.
I need to move on.
Yes, you do, because you're still talking about Remain and Leave and about millionaire business. I'm actually talking about something. If you listen to what I'm saying, is this is an opportunity for people to get engaged, because part of our
people
campaign...
People were engaged at the referendum. We had a huge, huge turnout at the referendum.
Actually, we're talking about where we are now. There is no data at the moment out there. We're commissioning polling. We don't know where people feel now.
We don't know where people feel now. Now, I've been saying this for a long time. I'm not bigging myself up here. I'm not like that. I don't do that. It's not very clever. I've been saying it for a while. They're going to use the result of this election to suggest that people have changed their minds. Whatever the result is, we need another referendum. We need another referendum. And I believe they will try to get that referendum on the European Union scheduled for sometime in 2018. They'll spend and spend and spend. They'll use puppets. They, of course, being the... they, of course, being those behind the tyrannical European Union. Those who are hell-bent on centralising power, eroding sovereignty and democracy everywhere they find it, will spend and spend and spend. They're aided by a very weak media. And they'll convince the UK public that the June 2016 referendum result is now irrelevant. One of the ways they're doing it is, I obviously am listening to a lot of media in the AM and in the early PM every day. And all of the news networks in the last few days have brought together a number of younger men and women whom couldn't vote in the 2015 election, or whom weren't old enough to vote in the referendum last year, but are now old enough. They've come of age in the last 6 or 8 months or 9 months or whatever. And to a boy and girl or young man and woman, they are all saying they want to stay in the European Union. It's terrible, really, what's going on. The news networks and the various channels are not providing young men and women who might vote for the first time in June who are saying they want to leave the European Union. It's all about these young people who now have the right to vote, who were denied it last June and in 2015. This is where it's all going. The tyrants behind the European Union and the other unions globally, who want eventually to bring us to a one-world government, will never allow, or they will try to never allow, a situation develop where the UK completely severs its political and economic ties with the European Union. They won't allow it. They will do everything they can to prevent it, is what I'm saying. And we have to be prepared to do whatever is necessary to prevent them doing that. And I mean, you know, peacefully. I don't mean violently, although many of our listeners disagree with me on that. But anyway, we'll watch this space. This is the Richie Allen Show for Thursday. I'm going to take a very quick break because when we come back, we're going to talk about the United States of America. We're going to talk about Donald Trump. Then we'll talk about Syria. We'll talk about Boris Johnson, the UK Foreign Secretary as well. And we're going to talk about the boycott, divestment and sanction movement against Israel. Lot to come on your Richie Allen Show this Thursday, the 27th of April 2017.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the doctor or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they do.
Traffic 2, available now at premiumonpictures.co.uk.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Richie Allen.
Welcome back. It's Thursday's Richie Allen Show, recorded for once. Router issues, which will be resolved in the next couple of days. Speaking of the European Union and leaving it and all of that, Angela Merkel has been sticking her oar in today. She said some British people have illusions about how the discussions about the UK's relationship with Europe will go. They have illusions. They're wasting their time, she said, did Angela. Merkel said that a third country, which is what the UK will be, cannot and will not have the same rights as an EU member state. She told the Bundestag, Germany's lower house of parliament, this a short time ago. All that bollocks, because that's all it is, really. The UK, if we didn't live in the tyrannical world of mendacity that we live in, if all was equal and all was true and all was fair, the UK would enjoy a very fruitful economic existence outside of the European Union. But it's all lies. You and I know this. We're going to talk about the United States of America right now. So the BBC and other major media outlets are reporting. What are they reporting on? Well, they're saying that Donald Trump has done a massive U-turn on NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement. Trump has told Mexico and Canada that he wants to renegotiate and not scrap the North American Free Trade Agreement. You might remember what Trump said on the campaign trail last year. Worst deal ever done. Cost American jobs. I'll get rid of it. Like the TPP if we can't renegotiate it, said Trump. And I'm going to give you another prediction now. And I'll be proven wrong, surely. But maybe I won't be proven wrong. Here's another prediction. And you can note the date as if I'm important. You couldn't give a shite, really. But I'm going to tell you anyway. Thursday, April 27th, today, this is my prediction. Yes, Donald Trump did sign an executive order in January withdrawing the United States from TTIP, right? The Trans-Pacific Partnership. He did do that, right? He said it would hurt US manufacturing. Do you know what the media didn't tell you then? I did, but the media didn't tell you. What Trump didn't tell you was that the treaty text, the TPP treaty text, remains valid until February next year, meaning that the US is effectively still part of the treaty until then. So this is my prediction, for what it's worth. I predict that Trump will do a final U-turn on TPP because Trump at some stage will claim he has negotiated better terms and that he's protected US businesses and that TPP is now a good thing. I believe Trump will reverse himself on that sometime later this year or very early next year. And I have a long memory. And if that doesn't happen, I will put my hand up and say I was wrong on that. But I believe he will. He's reversed himself on everything bloody else. Now, on the NAFTA about turn from Donald Trump, here's MSNBC. They reported on it a short time ago. Remember, I've been on air recording this just after noon UK time. Things will change. But this is MSNBC on the Trump U-turn on NAFTA.
I know from talking to his voters that what they heard during the campaign was he was going to pull us out of NAFTA, and they were cheered that he pulled us out of TPP. And I'm pretty sure that they're going to be deflated by this commitment to stay in NAFTA. What do you think the sort of fine line is that the president has to walk on this?
It's an interesting one right now. This is there's symbolism, just that word, that sort of, you know, acronym NAFTA. I think it takes on a very powerful emotional meaning to
people.
Well,
he made it powerful, right? I mean, let's play some of this. We heard this at every rally.
A deal signed by Bill Clinton and supported strongly by crooked Hillary. Remember, every time you see a closed factory or wiped out community, the Clintons really did this to you. NAFTA was a disaster.
Ari, NAFTA was a disaster, but we're staying in. Never mind. Do you think there are any political problems for him, not with Republicans, but with the Democrats that joined the Trump coalition this year?
I think it's too early to know. I think that's possible if he doesn't act meaningfully on it. But I think to Donald Trump, everything is a negotiation. He's never been a fixed ideological candidate. He's always been a floating populist. And if you believe that everything is a negotiation, you begin by moving the goalpost to a starker position, and then you see what you can get out of it at the end. I think that's what he was doing in his phone calls today with the president of Mexico and the prime minister of Canada. That's his objective here, is to see what he can get in a renegotiated NAFTA. And he said he's reserving the right to still pull us out.
Yeah, they're all liars, but I think Trump is a special type of liar, totally unapologetic. No attempt to cover up the U-turns and the flip-flopping whatsoever. That Zionist madman Trump, eh? What a liar. Remember this, you can't not play this again because it's just so important.
If I win, I am going to instruct my attorney general to get a special prosecutor to look into your situation, because there has never been so many lies, so much deception. There has never been anything like it. And we're going to have a special prosecutor. When I speak, I go out and speak, the people of this country are furious. In my opinion, the people that have been long-term workers at the FBI are furious. There has never been anything like this, where emails and you get a subpoena. You get a subpoena, and after getting the subpoena, you delete 33,000 emails. And then you acid wash them, or bleach them, as you would say, a very expensive process. So we're going to get a special prosecutor, and we're going to look into it, because you know what? People have been, their lives have been destroyed for doing one-fifth of what you've done. And it's a disgrace. And honestly, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
And then he won.
Are you going to ask for a special prosecutor to investigate Hillary Clinton over her emails? And are you, as you had said to her face, going to try and put her in jail?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to think about it. I feel that I want to focus on jobs. I want to focus on health care. I want to focus on the border and immigration and get the country straightened away.
You called her crooked Hillary, said you wanted to get in jail. Your people and your audiences kept saying lock him up.
Yeah. Well, she did some bad things. I mean, she did some bad things.
A special prosecutor?
I don't want to hurt them. They're good people. I don't want to hurt them. And I will give you a very, very good and definitive answer the next time we do 60 Minutes together.
Yeah, but he didn't give any good or definitive answer. It should have been over there and then. It should have been over there and then. But no. The alternative media continued and continue to support him. Thankfully, one or two friends of ours, Michael Rivero, Jim Fetzer, and one or two others, have finally admitted they've been duped. Suckered. Donald Trump is a Rothschild Zionist, a member of the club, like Hitler, Obama, David Cameron, Tony Blair, Francois Hollande, Angela Merkel. Could be here all day naming them. Part of the establishment is Donald Trump. The last night, the United States said it would tighten sanctions on North Korea and step up diplomatic moves to pressure North Korea to end its nuclear and missile programs. More nonsense. Trump's strategy was announced after a special briefing for all 100 US senators. That must have been a laugh, eh? Now, earlier yesterday, the top US commander in the Pacific defended the deployment of an advanced missile defense system in South Korea, ramping up the tension. These lunatics, that's what they are. They're claiming that the North is planning new weapons tests. The Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, and Dan Coats, the Director of National Intelligence, issued a joint statement saying the United States seeks stability and the peaceful denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Madmen. And the non-intervention president, Donald Trump. What happened to him? I'll talk to people. I'll do deals. No more disaster wars. That was a disaster. This war was a disaster. Be no more of these wars. No more of this nonsense when I'm in. I'll build relationships with people. I'm the deal maker. All bullshit. More on Korea, by the way, in a couple of minutes' time. The UK Foreign Secretary has been talking about Jeremy Corbyn and his weakness in the face of North Korean aggression. You're listening to The Richie Allen Show, broadcasting today, unfortunately, through the medium of podcast and YouTube. We are broadcasting in association with DavidIke.com. Thursday, April 27th, 2017. Thank you so much for listening to the program. Do share the podcast. Do share the YouTube video on your various social media pages and whatnot. Thank you for listening. Really mean that. Europe's most listened to independent radio show. Nobody can dispute that. 30,000 plus podcast listens a week. 800,000 listens on YouTube a month. And a live audience every weeknight of over 40,000 listeners. You made it so. Thank you for doing that. Not bragging, by the way, at all. Just pointing out you made it happen through your support of it. Now, Boris Johnson, the UK Foreign Secretary, said it would be very difficult for the United Kingdom to refuse the United States if the US asked for support in another military strike on Syria. No change there, then. The Foreign Secretary said MPs would not necessarily have a vote on any proposed joint action. Why? Why not? Screw democracy. Fancy bombing a country into the Stone Age. To hell with getting permission, let's just do it. Now, you'll know by now, because it's been discussed extensively on media, both independent and mainstream, that the US used 59 cruise missiles against the Syrian airbase days after they claimed a chemical attack was launched by the Assad government that left nearly 100 people dead and many more wounded. The president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, has constantly denied his forces were responsible, and as we pointed out on this program earlier in the week, Assad has proven that the United States itself has blocked UN inspectors coming in to investigate it. Simple as that. That doesn't matter, though. Boris Johnson and others can go on national media in the UK and claim that the Assad regime, in inverted commas, are murdering people. They're not being questioned on these claims at all by British media presenters, of course. Now, Boris Johnson was speaking to LBC and a guy called Nick Ferrari, who, like all the other primetime presenters on LBC, also have part-time gigs with Sky News or the BBC. Think about that for a minute. Think about James O'Brien, Ian Dale and Nick Ferrari gigging on Sky News and the BBC as well. Think about that. Think about the wrongs of that. That's who these people are. Here's Boris Johnson with LBC's Nick Ferrari talking about Syria. And this was on Thursday morning, okay, depending again on when you're listening to this. Johnson on Syria.
Let's just go through that, because you saw what happened the other day on April 4th. There's no question that the Assad regime was responsible for chemical weapons, sarin weapon strikes against its own people again. And up to 100 people lost their lives, probably more than 70 people, in horrific deaths. Now, the US, under the new President Donald Trump, decided to break with the pattern of the previous Obama administration. They decided to do something. And they launched those 59 cruise missiles at the Sharat airfield, from where we are almost certain we're virtually certain.
Obviously, What's virtually certain?
I would say 99.9% certain. Okay. If you look at the evidence, it's overwhelming. Right. With some new stuff came out yesterday with actual photo, with the fragments of the grenades that were dropped and how they and the way they exploded and dispersed the gas, which we know the Assad regime to possess. So we know they did it. The US responded.
What the hell was that? Ferrari should have jumped right in there, shouldn't he? What was that, Boris? You just mumbled very incoherently there, Foreign Secretary. I got something about grenades, Assad. What the fuck are you saying?
If you look at the evidence, it's overwhelming. Right. With some new stuff came out yesterday with actual photo, with the fragments of the grenades that were dropped and how they and the way they exploded and dispersed the gas, which we know the Assad regime to possess. So we know they did it. The US responded.
He just trails off, doesn't he? Assad, grenades and fragments. We know know they don't believe. I know blah, 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 blah. What the fuck is that? What is that? And Ferrari just sits there, says nothing. I'm going to try that with the future Mrs. Allen next time I go to the rugby league with Tez and the boys. And I come back. How many did you have, Richie, by the way? How many pints did you have? Well, a couple of half-time just before we left a taxi. And just walk away. Right. Assad regime, grenade fragments, blah, 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 blah. Does Ferrari challenge any of that? Does Ferrari challenge any of that? Like heck he does.
Now, on that occasion, yeah, they did not ask us for assistance.
But if they were in the future.
Now, so if Assad were to do something like that again, and if there was a response that was commensurate and appropriate and timely and all the rest of it, and the US were to come to us and ask us for support and practical assistance, which they didn't do last time, as I've said, and you'd have to work out what the procedures would be, but I think it would be very difficult for us as a country, given our relationship with the United States, it would be difficult for us to say
with no parliamentary approval.
Well, I think you'd have to work out the systems by which you did it in a timely and
well, you won't have time. You get a phone call in the middle of the night. You know better than I, Foreign Secretary.
Well, that's you're putting your finger on the issue, but I'm giving you my perspective, my instincts, which is that, you know, if it was appropriate, if it was commensurate, and it was something that showed that the West was not going to the civilized world was not going to accept the murder of innocent people with weapons that were banned in 1925, then I think it'd be difficult for the UK to say no.
Yeah, 1925. Ferrari doesn't challenge a single thing. Why? Because he isn't fit for purpose. I know you've heard this song before. You're singing 40 now. How long will Richie keep singing this song? Because it's important. Because Ferrari, and this is going to sound very melodramatic, has utterly failed in his responsibility, not only to the listener, but he has failed democracy. That's a stretch, that, Richie. No, it isn't. He's interviewing a war-mongering, Eton-educated Zionist called Boris Johnson, who lies about evidence, mumbles about grenades and stuff, says the UK could hardly refuse if the United States were to ask them to join in bombing Assad and bombing targets inside Syria, government targets. And he intimated there might be no need for parliamentary approval. Ferrari does nothing. Undermining democracy, Nick Ferrari, yes he is, because democracy can't function without a media. With no media, you get multi-millionaire Rothschild Zionists in power. And the media won't expose them. Why? Well, they belong to the same club. The only thing Ferrari did press Corbyn on, excuse me, Boris Johnson on, but ever so gently, was Johnson's characterisation of Jeremy Corbyn earlier. Johnson used a column in the Sun newspaper, think about that, a rag of such mendacity, I wouldn't wipe my backside with it. But in a column in the Sun, Boris Johnson belittled Jeremy Corbyn and used some rather bizarre language to describe the Labour leader. Have a listen to this.
When you describe Jeremy Corbyn as a mutton-headed mugwump, why are you getting personal?
Let me explain, because obviously I mean no insult to mugwumps anywhere by saying that. But what I'm trying to get over is I think there is a risk that people won't get quite what a threat Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party would be. And what I mean by that is that the world I go around, we have to look at all the threats that the UK faces at the moment. And it is much less stable and certain than perhaps we thought it was at the end of the would be at the end of the Cold War. Russia, all trying all sorts of tricks in the Baltics, in Eastern Europe. Kim Jong Un now absolutely out of control in North Korea, going for hell for leather for nuclear weapons, and of course the perennial struggle against Daesh, against Islamist terrorism. Now, all those three, I see a Labour leadership that is really weak, if, to the point of being dangerous.
But what do you achieve by getting personal?
And so what I'm saying is, don't be misled. And Don't think that this is just sort of innocent herbivorousness, because if you discard our nuclear deterrent at this time, then I think that is a real risk. You know, not just the North Koreans who are trying to get nuclear weapons, but of course others have them and are trying to acquire them as well. If you have a policy which is when innocent public life is in peril from an Islamist terrorist, if you say you wouldn't shoot to kill, I think that really speaks of a...
But do you not lessen your message by personalising and using language such as out of Harry Potter or wherever you got it?
Well, I think it's not the most to be. No, come on, you're a big lad. I mean,
That's the answer, right? Corbyn is a mugwump. The world is unstable, and he's a wimpy lefty. He won't defend us, said Johnson. Again, Nick Ferrari, the fat fucking failure, challenges the name calling, but not the substance of Johnson's argument. I could lose a few pounds myself, by the way. Any of our more rotund listeners, don't be offended by that. I'm just angry with what I'm listening to. Genuinely so. I'm not putting it on. Challenges the name calling, but not the substance of the argument. You know, a real presenter might say, hang on, Foreign Secretary, let me interject there. Doesn't Jeremy Corbyn have a point when he says the way your government has conducted business since 2010 over Libya, Syria, Russia and Ukraine hasn't your way driven tension and hostility and pushed us into this area of instability, hasn't it really? And another thing, Foreign Secretary, isn't Jeremy Corbyn saying the total nuclear disarmament is vital because we're all finished. We are all fucking finished if nuclear weapons are deployed by anybody. Corbyn wants to talk to people. And isn't it unfair to mischaracterise Corbyn and to suggest that he wouldn't defend the country? We haven't been attacked by anybody since the Luftwaffe were flying over southern England. Corbyn has never been asked what would he do if a country took up arms and sent warships or submarines to the shores of the United Kingdom. So it's unfair, really, isn't it, Foreign Secretary? But Ferrari won't go there. Pathetic, dreadful excuse for a presenter and a radio station. Dreadful. Not fit for purpose. This is your Richie Allen Show on DavidIke.com, ordinarily broadcasting on Fab Radio 2 and Alternate Current Radio. On the North Korean threat, Michael Pregent, who is a former US intelligence officer, he's been speaking with Fox News, and he said that the threat from North Korea is being greatly exaggerated by Western media and by Western military alliances, like obviously NATO. He said that the weaponry we see in some of these big videos released by the North Koreans, a lot of the weaponry is fake. Even the weaponry the soldiers themselves are carrying in these big parades is actually fake. Pregent was looking at photographs from April 15th and he said many of the guns they're carrying are not even real. He pointed to evidence that showed that North Korea is having serious problems producing ammunition for the AK-47s that we see in some of these pictures that are shown on Western media to prove that the North Koreans are building up a military arsenal to prepare for a big offensive. It's all lies, says Pregent, on Fox News, ironically, but fair play to him. And he's working now for a conservative think tank called the Hudson Institute. Now, I don't know too much about that, and it might be full of nefarious characters, and you can tell me whatever you want about it, but Pregent is saying, listen, you know, we're making a massive enemy out of this guy, and really, from what I can see, they don't have half the capability they're claiming to have. Right? Wag the dog, anybody? Wag the dog? We're going to take another very quick break on Thursday's Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Plenty more in a minute.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the dots or a nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they're doing.
Traffic 2, available now at premilonpictures.co.uk.
You're listening to The Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
And you're very welcome back to it. Thanks for listening to this on Podomatic or on YouTube. I really appreciate it. We'll be back up and running with live radio on Sunday. I'm told reliably that the router will arrive on Saturday via courier, which is all good. In the meantime, I don't have access to the internet except through my phone. And that's why there was a strange echo on the LBC clips earlier on. I have very good software, but I wasn't able to get a absolutely proper, what's the word I'm looking for? Stereo sound, that's it, from the LBC clip. But I've done well today. Been at distance very early on today. I'm happy with what I've been able to do in terms of the audio quality anyway. You'll be the judge of whether this is any good or not, no doubt. Moving on. Concerns over some students' union support for a boycott of Israel are being looked into by the Charity Commission. This is being reported by the BBC today. 17 student bodies have endorsed the boycott, divestment and sanction movement against Israel, which calls for an international boycott of the country over the way it treats Palestinians. Now, some Jewish students in the UK are saying that growing support for BDS has fueled a rise in anti-Semitism on campuses. The commission, the charity commission that is, said it would assess the concerns and take action if necessary. BDS, which I already said stands for Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions, describes itself as a human rights organisation and criticises Israel for its human rights record. BDS has always said it stands for freedom, justice and equality, saying it is inclusive and categorically opposes, as a matter of principle, all forms of racism, including anti-Semitism. But Jewish students say they are being intimidated physically and emotionally by BDS. They say the BDS movement is adding to a climate of hostility against Israel on campus, which has turned Jewish students into scapegoats. That's what they're saying. They've not provided any evidence, of course, and they haven't. I've looked for any evidence that they have provided. They've provided none. Now, Johnny Newman works for Jewish Human Rights Watch. The irony. He agrees, Johnny Newman agrees, that Jewish students are vulnerable, and he agrees that BDS is itself anti-Semitic. Have a listen to him.
Let me start with Johnny. Obviously, you're not a student, but you keep a close look at what's happening on campuses. What is driving this wave of hostility that we're seeing?
I think it's the BDS movement, which is, you know, fundamentally anti-Semitic. And, you know, you
it's very easy, I think one of the easiest ways to tell an anti-Semite, or to tell anti-Semitism, is when people have a general rule for everyone, but then make an exception for that rule for the Jews. And I think we see this on campus with freedom of speech and with safe spaces, both in the UK, in the US, and elsewhere. So freedom of speech, when the anti-Semitic BDS folks on campus bring over a speaker, and people and Jewish students and others, you know, say that this is someone who makes us feel uncomfortable, someone who's potentially inciting against us, they're shouted down. You know, free speech, we have to hear this person, and so on. And yet, of course, when it comes to Jewish speakers coming to campus, the Israeli ambassador, Israeli lawmakers, and so on, those events are violently disrupted and tried to bring to a close. So freedom of speech for everyone but the Jews. And of course, the boycott movement in itself is about boycotting these Jewish speakers. And the same with safe spaces, where, you know, we see bulls in colleges in this country, in the States as well, where costumes are restricted or the bulls are cancelled because certain costumes may offend certain minorities and this and that. And yet when it comes to the very real intimidation and the very real offence taken and even danger to Jewish students by the BDS movement, there's no safe space for them. Safe spaces for everyone, but not the Jews.
Yeah, what a load of bollocks. He's being interviewed by a Jewish guy who sympathises with his point of view, so he doesn't challenge him to provide any evidence. You know what I think when I hear stories like this? This is fantastic news, really. Because BDS must be really hurting Israel's economy. Because Jewish groups are spending, I should say Zionist groups, are spending a fortune, an absolute fortune, in various countries around the world to lobby governments to try and make this illegal. Funny enough, I went to Sainsbury yesterday. I also use Asda sometimes, and I also use Tesco as well, as well as Morrison's. Gotta mention them all, don't favour any of them. There's a big hummus shortage right now for some reason. Apparently there was some metallic taste in some brands of hummus, and there was a big worry, and some of the supermarkets have pulled hummus from the shelves. Now, I don't buy Israeli hummus. I buy hummus that's produced elsewhere. As a rule, I don't. I won't buy anything from that's made in Israel. Of course, I support the BDS movement. As much as I love my hummus, there was one line available at Sainsbury, and it was an Israeli brand, and I wouldn't buy it. Because it's the little things. It's the little things. So when the pro-Zionist State of Israel money men are spending money to try and make this illegal, it must be hurting them in the pocket. Listen, belittling any Jewish man or woman, insulting them, insulting where they come from, their ethnicity, their origins, is wrong. Nobody would tolerate that. I wouldn't tolerate it. I have Jewish friends. I really have. I actually have. I have black friends. All that bullshit when people are called. I have Jewish friends. I wouldn't tolerate it. Wouldn't put up with it. But this nonsense about the BDS movement in universities making Jewish students feel vulnerable, what a load of crap. Provide some evidence and we'll have a look at it. Don't be making blanket statements like that that are completely untrue. Now, to Ken O'Keefe. I was informed yesterday by a friend of the programme, somebody who is incredibly reliable and whose integrity is unimpeachable, that Ken O'Keefe was in Soho in London, not yesterday, but Tuesday. He turned up to some event and he began asking people there for money for his fraudulent pyramid scheme, the One World Citizen Initiative, which is a fraudulent pyramid scheme. I want to tell you a couple of things very briefly. 18 months ago, maybe a little bit longer, O'Keefe put together an elaborate video production and an elaborate website saying that he wanted people to donate even, say it right, Rich, to donate to this One World Citizen scheme, that he was going to provide the legal means with which one could exempt oneself from paying taxes which were used to fund wars. He had the strategy, he said. His initial campaign message was bizarre, and in fact it was totally fucking ridiculous. I can't reveal the strategy because I have a lot of enemies and they might try and take it down and take me down. I'm under attack all the time. So donate to me now. I won't reveal the strategy though. He got about $120,000. What was really important to the story was the entire team, the mission team, the entire team, including Max Egan, walked away from him, sent him a series of emails labelling him a fraud, saying that he was misappropriating the money or that he was lying to people or that he was misleading people, a number of different emails. They walked away. Now, Ken is a lawyer and he went public and said that he fired these people for subversion because his enemies are after him and he puts up with this all the time. Ken is one of the great narcissists of the world. Great narcissist, great illusion, a great delusional character is our Ken. Delusional about his own place in the world and his own importance to peace and justice. Complete liar. It was proven very quickly he didn't fire anybody. They walked away from him. Massive lie. Max Egan came on this programme, said it was a pyramid scheme. I put the devil's advocate questions to Max. I asked him, could he have gotten it wrong? Did he need to give Ken more of a chance to explain it? Had he misread what was going on? Max said absolutely no. It was a pyramid scheme. It was a fraud. Now, O'Keefe came on with me in September last year and made a complete fool of himself. Sounded drunk or intoxicated on some substance or other. Actually screamed his way through the interview. Called me and everybody else idiots. Questioned my intelligence and integrity. Questioned my intelligence. The irony of Ken O'Keefe questioning my intellectual capacity. I'm not even going to go there. O'Keefe has not spoken about this in over 6 months. He's revealed nothing to nobody. He has refused to answer direct questions issued to him through email and through social media by people who donated to him, people asking for their money back or for an explanation as to what's going on. He's been ensconced on Dominica with his girlfriend. O'Keefe was married, and I believe he had a couple of children. I believe his ex-wife and his children are in London. But he moved to Dominica. Have a think about that one. And there, he's been basically silent for over 6 months after the interview he did with me. He promised a number of things, including revealing the strategy, including publishing accounts. None of this has happened. It can't happen, of course, because it is a fraud. Now, you're going to hear a little bit of an interview. Bear in mind, at the time I did the interview, I had made no declaration whatsoever about O'Keefe. I had made no... I had offered no opinion on it. That came later, when O'Keefe failed to provide the things he said he would provide. The time of me doing the interview, I was fair. Left him come on, asked him to answer the allegations made by Max Egan and everybody else who worked with him, not to mention the previous schemes dreamt up by Ken to do with money for various Palestinian causes that ended in acrimony and accusations and complete disarray. I got no answers from O'Keefe, a load of abuse, but here's a very telling snippet right at the end of that interview in September. The entire interview, by the way, is available on YouTube. This is a very telling snippet at the very end.
I'm concerned about the billions of people who share this planet with us, who don't have a voice, who are going to be well impressed that we in the West have finally said we're going to stop paying for these horrendous crimes we commit against people all over the world. I am sick and tired of it. This strategy is not only sound, it is incredibly powerful. And no matter what you do, no matter how many people live in the...
I can't wait to see the strategy, Ken,
no
because
matter what any of
this,
you do,
the strategy
this
better be good,
launched, and I will reveal the strategy, and it
can't wait
will
to see
be
it.
Powerful. But either way, I will have done my best. And I don't give any concern or any kind of over-worrying about any of this. All of this stuff that I'm going through, these false accusations, baseless criminal accusations that lack all evidence, mean nothing. This is par for the course.
Well, we'll have to see whether there's no evidence or not, won't we, Ken? Because you're going to have to publish your accounts, you know? We'll see if they're baseless, Ken, when you publish your accounts. As you have a duty to do to those who donated to you.
Richie,
right?
I will publish what is required by the law, the accounts, within a week.
Boys of law.
And when I prove within a... There you go, on air. Within a week, I want a public apology from you when you see that I have
received any pay. I've not accused you of anything, Ken.
And I paid these people.
Oh, holy Jesus. I've not accused you of misappropriating the money at all. I'm here to ask you questions. I've never accused you of using the money inappropriately. I've never accused you of that. I haven't done it today. I haven't done it any day. The people who worked with you have called you out on that, Ken.
Why are you insisting I put the accounts out there then? Why are you expecting us to do something that is not required by any organization,
you
any business?
Are not
why
seriously supposed, asking me that question,
why am
are
I
you?
Supposed to supply on demand when baseless accusations of fraud and theft have occurred? Why am I supposed to do that? Is
by
that
a lot of people who worked for you, Ken.
What
by
they said?
A
what
lot of people
they
who worked for you. They are asking to see this information. Did you really? I'm going to make an example of it. I'm going to take that clip out, Ken. You're actually asking me, why should you publish account information to prove that you haven't taken any money for yourself or anything else? You actually said that, Ken. In light of what your team have accused you of, you have no option. You have no option but to publish that information.
Do you believe
Ken O'Keefe is saying on air that he's not going to publish the information?
Do you believe in law or do you believe in mob mentality, Richie? Which one do you believe in?
I believe in transparency, Ken.
Oh, really?
You've been accused, Ken. You've been accused by the people who work for you, Ken.
Everyone should have to divulge their books on demand when
your
baseless allegations with no evidence to support it have been lodged. Is that the world you suggest we should have?
These people worked for you, Ken. This is not some idiot who hates Ken O'Keefe because he's an idiot. These aren't people. These are people who worked for you, Ken. Eight of them, including Max Egan and seven others. Eight people, Ken.
I have to prove my innocence, right, Richie?
Absolutely, Ken.
I have to.
You took $115,000 from people. They have a right to know that it's being spent properly.
Ken O'Keefe is a monumental psychopath and a fraud. And if you're listening to this and you're in the UK and you encounter him, apparently he's asking people for $5 for a piece of paper that will exempt you from paying taxes. It is so ridiculous. It is almost laughable. It really is. And I have it on good authority. And I'm not going to go down that road. So look, we've never received from Ken O'Keefe or anybody associated with him accounting. We've never received the strategy. And as a footnote to that, you might remember, the day after the live interview, I spoke to Ken O'Keefe's lawyer, who wouldn't come on the air, the guy he gave several £1,000 to for an opinion. And the guy said to me he wouldn't recommend that people... he said it's not impossible. You know, it isn't impossible to go into a court of law and defend yourself on the premise that, well, I didn't pay taxes because I don't agree with the government's usage even of my money and its campaign of terror overseas. He said, look, nothing is impossible. But he said to me he wouldn't recommend it. He wouldn't recommend it. And he didn't give Ken O'Keefe the legal basis for which... or with which you could do that. It's just a pack of lies. Everything about it is a lie. And I'm disgusted. I thought he'd crawled away. He disappeared for 6 months or more. But disgusted to learn and alarmed to learn that this monumental fraud is now in the UK attending various activist meetings and asking for more money to fund his lifestyle in Dominica. Stay away from him. Give him a wide berth. He is a dangerous psychopath. And I'm leaving the Richie Allen Show on Thursday with that because it's serious. And when people like him come along and ask for money for these harebrained initiatives, you know, or tell you that they're going to deliver this to Palestine or that to Palestine, you seek some transparency. I'll say no more about it. That was Thursday's Richie Allen Show, broadcasting today on podcast and on YouTube. Thanks for listening to it. I'll be back with you live on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at BST for the live Sunday View programme. Until next time, look after yourselves and one another. And thank you so much for listening again. I really appreciate it. Have a fantastic weekend.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.